Amen. We're going to look at the Gospel according to St. Mark and chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 21. Mark 5 and verse 21. And it says, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come. Put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her sufferings. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." When I get to heaven, I'm going to look for this woman. I don't know her name. She's not mentioned. Jairus is mentioned. This woman's name is not mentioned, so it might take me a long time to find her. But I've got a long time in heaven. And I'm going to find her, and when I find her, I'm going to give her a great big hug. Do you know why? This woman has been an inspiration to me many, many times, because I see in this woman what I call raw faith. Sometimes we need to display raw faith. Most of us display passive faith. You know, and we are faithful. And we are passive in our faith. But sometimes we need to go to another level of raw faith. See, this woman, the Bible tells us, had been bleeding for 12 years. And she was a Jewess. She would have done all the things that the Lord told her to do. She would have first gone to the priest. She would have gone through all the rituals that they would have had to have gone through. Still she was sick. Still she was bleeding. She would have prayed and prayed and prayed. Maybe every day, "God, heal me. God, heal me." Nothing happened. I mean, you know, 12 years is a long time. I know people who get fed up with praying after 3 days. This woman's been like this for 12 years. Then she visited doctors, and I'm sure quacks. She visited people to try to help her in her condition. And the Bible says she spent all that she had on the doctors, became poor, and she was still sick. I see this woman as a candidate for bitterness. "Where are you, God, when I need you? Where are you?" I see this woman could have become bitter. See, under the law, she was not allowed out in public because she was bleeding. She couldn't shop publicly. She couldn't go to weddings and parties. She was not allowed, forbidden by the law. She was classed as unclean because she was bleeding. So for 12 years, she'd lived some sort of a solitary life. I can imagine the gossiping lips in the town where she comes from. "Why are you still like this? What have you done to deserve this? What sin have you been up to that God should punish you in this way? How many of you know people talk like that? How many Christians talk like that? This woman went through an incredible amount of suffering and could easily have become bitter. People interest me. I love to look at people's faces. And it's amazing what I can see when I look at people's faces. I don't know whether that's because I've been in the ministry so long or whether it's a gift from God. I don't know. But I see in people's faces a lot of things. I see people who are bitter. And in their bitterness, I could see they've gone through hardships, tough times, rough times. And I can understand why bitterness would come. My own mother was a very bitter woman. The way she'd been treated. She ran away from home. You know, I told you yesterday that when I came home and told her I was Christian, she was angry with me. Do you remember me telling you that? I told you that. She was very angry with me because I would become a Christian. And I couldn't understand that. And I hadn't been a Christian very long before they asked me to give a testimony in church. And I got up on the platform, my knees were knocking, and I'd never done public speaking before. But I can remember what I said. I said, I long for the day when I see my mum standing here giving a testimony. Do you know what? I saw that day come to pass. I led my mother to the Lord some years later before she died of cancer. I led her to the Lord. And the day she gave a testimony in our church, our little church in England, she said, the day my son John came home and told me he was a Christian, I was angry with him. I cursed him and swore at him. And he doesn't know why. Doesn't know why now. And I'm sitting there in the congregation thinking, no, I don't. And she said, I'll tell you why. I ran away from home when I was a girl. My mother was a Christian, a Pentecostal Christian. I left home. I ran away because I wanted to be a dancer. She was apparently in a youth, a good-looking girl, had a lovely figure, and she wanted to be a dancer. But then, by the age of 20, she'd met my dad, pregnant, and got married. And got all these kids she had, one after the other. And a drunken husband. And she'd become a bitter, bitter woman. And she says to me, when he came home that day, and told me I was a Christian, I got convicted. She said, because I should have been the one to teach him about God. I should have been the one to teach him about Jesus. I ran from a Christian home. And here's my son coming, telling me that he's a Christian. So, that was an incredible experience. And I saw the bitterness that my mother had. And believe me, she had a lot of bitterness and hurt. I saw God turn it and changed her around. Hallelujah. And I was with her the night that she died and went to heaven to be with the Lord. I look at this woman and I think, there is a candidate for bitterness. See, she's done all the right things. She's a Jewess. She had to go to the priest. She'd have gone through all the prayer, all the rituals. And still she was sick. And you often ask the question, why? And the devil's always there to give you an answer. It's your fault. Have you noticed that? The devil is always put. He's a condemner. God does not condemn. Hallelujah. He convicts, but he doesn't condemn. The devil condemns. And this woman would have been condemned over and over again. So 12 years later now, she's poor. She's got nothing. She's lonely. I tell you, there would not be any friends with her. She's a lonely, sick, anemic person. And the Bible says she heard about Jesus. Now, I don't know where that faith came from. I don't know, but somehow, some way, from within her, faith started to rise. And it says here she thought within herself. But if you look, it might be the Gospel of Luke, in the other story concerning her, it said, she said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. She didn't just think it, she actually spoke it. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. If I can touch him, I'll be healed. When she got to where Jesus was, the Bible's already made it very clear there was a multitude of people around him. Thousands. She shouldn't have been there. She should have seen the people, according to the law, turn around and gone home. Come on. Disappointed. But you know, she didn't. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. Now, just prior to this, this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, came to see Jesus. Can I just say to you that when he came, everybody knew him, and they would have parted to let him pass by. He would not have to push his way through. I tell you that now. The Jews would have stood to one side, and he had a pathway up to Jesus. His heart was broken. He fell on his knees and said, my daughter, she's dying. Come heal her. Lay your hands on her. And Jesus says, okay. So he gets up, and he's walking away from this woman. Have you got the picture? He doesn't even know she's there. He hasn't got a clue she's there. He doesn't know her condition. He's actually got his back to her, and she is pushing through the crowd. And I tell you, when you're anemic and in a fainting condition, it's very hard to push through a crowd of people. And I tell you that while she was pushing, I tell you the devil would be saying things to her like, what is the point? Come on, this has been 12 years. You've got to just bear this sickness. God expects you to have it. Go for it. You silly woman, stop pressing in. He doesn't even know you're there. He doesn't even know who you are. He's busy. He hasn't got time for you. All those thoughts would have gone through her mind. Come on, they go through our mind. The devil makes sure that he puts thoughts in our mind, negative thoughts. But she kept pressing in. She kept pushing in. She pressed in. She pushed in. And when she actually touched him, she touched the hem of his garment, which suggests to me she'd ended up on her knees. That's desperation. There's some raw faith in this woman. And I say, God, where did that come from? Everything is against her. The whole world is against her. All her thought patterns against her. Everything is against her. And Jesus is walking away from her. He didn't stop with a word of knowledge and say, oh, there's someone in the crowd that needs me. He didn't say that. He was walking away. And eventually, she managed to just touch him and, whoa! She got healed instantly. And he stopped. Whoa! He turned around. And he says to the disciples, who touched my clothes? What do you mean you touch your clothes? Everybody's touching. The crowd was pressing in. There were thousands of people. Can you imagine if you went to a footy match? All the people there, and Jesus in the middle of them all, and you got to try and get to him. Come on, all wanting to touch him. But he stopped. I'm sure Jairus was thinking, come on, come on. He stopped. Who touched me? Who touched me? And she disappeared back in the crowd. And she knew she was healed. Man, how was she feeling? She was fine there. She was healed. And she came out. And she told him it was her. Listen to the reply of Jesus. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Wow. I'm going to give her a big hug, because this woman is an inspiration to me at times when I don't feel like being inspired. At times when everything is against me, at times when my back is against the wall, I read this and I think, if this little woman who's not even mentioned by name can find raw faith, surely I, knowing all I know about God, can find faith again. Come on! Friends, there's a difference between raw faith and passive faith. I think Christians need to have some raw faith now and again and tell the devil to go to hell. Come on! In fact, I'd love you to do that this weekend while we're here. Just get by yourself, some of you, and just say, devil, go to hell. Surprise yourself. I mean, serious. Surprise yourself. And say, get raw with your faith. Because the devil's trying to push some of you guys around. He's trying to hurt you. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to drag you down. Tell him to go to hell, because that's where he's going. I'm not being rude when I say that. He really is going to hell. Did you hear me? I know he's going to hell because the Bible says so.
raw faith.
Not just passive faith. Passive faith is good. We need it. But there's times when we need that raw faith to say, I ain't putting up with this any longer. Devil, you've pushed me far enough. I stop. I'm making my stand. No more will I let you push me. Like that guy in the Old Testament, one of the soldiers, when there was a few of them, and the Philistines had been attacking the Israelites, the army of God, and they kept attacking them, and the Israelites were on the run all the time. And then there was this one guy, there were three of them standing in a lentil patch, and the Philistines came over the hill, and the others said, we're going, and they started to run, and this guy stood his ground. And I can imagine his mate saying, come on, they're going to kill you, come on! But he said, no, we've run enough. We are the army of God. What are we doing turning our back on the enemy? Come on. And then they saw him. And they thought, look at that idiot standing there. Let's go cut him down his size. And he drew his sword. And God brought about a wonderful victory through that man. He went for it with raw faith. And he defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. Sometimes you've got to stop running and you've got to start fighting. Sometimes you've got to stand for what is right in God and say, devil, you pushed me far enough, no further. It stops here. I take God's sword, the word of God, hallelujah, and I'm going to cut you down to size. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you something else that God likes. People who jump the queue. Now, I tell you, Chinese people are always jumping the queues. They are. Thing is this. When I was in China, I couldn't believe it. I'm in the queue in the line for the plane. And people just come and walk in front of you like they're pushing in front. Get out of the way. In England, we learn to queue properly. In England, you queue for everything, don't you? You queue for everything. You queue for a cup of tea, don't you, in England, if you go to the seaside? You learn to queue. And I'm going to tell you something. Well, I look in the Bible and I think, God loves queue jumpers. So I think he loves the Chinese. This woman was a queue jumper. Where was Jesus going with Jairus? Who had the first claims on him? Jairus. Who got there first? Jairus. Who jumped the queue? This woman. Hallelujah. So don't get upset. God won't get upset with you if you want to jump the queue. Go for it. Have some raw faith. In 1977, I hadn't come into full-time ministry then. I was working in a church as a youth leader. I was a state youth leader for the Sons of God. Very active. But I worked in pest control. I told you about that. And I used to have to crawl under houses and break through foundations to spray them. And I damaged my back really bad. I had a very badly damaged back. So much so that one day I bent over and I passed out. And I've never in all my life passed out. But I was on the floor. I'd gone. And I had to go to hospital. And they examined me, x-rayed me. I was in absolute agony right at the base of my back there. And the doctor says, it's bad news. You have damaged right at the base of your spine. Your spine is severely damaged. And we could operate, and this is going back then, today operations are a lot better than what they were then. He says you would have a 50-50 chance, maybe. It could even get worse because of the operation. He says, but we just want to tell you, you'll probably never work a full day again, and eventually you'll be in a wheelchair. Now, that's not a very nice diagnosis, is it? 1977. At the same time, Yonggi Cho was visiting Perth, preaching. And I'd read a lot about Yonggi Cho in the fourth dimension. And he's been in hospital. I wanted to go and see him. But I couldn't. I was in too much agony and pain. I wanted somebody to lay hands on me to get me healed. So I came out of hospital and they said, we'll put you on physiotherapy, etc., etc. So do you know what I did? I got home and I said to my wife, it's bad news. There's the x-rays. So you know what I did? I tore those x-rays up, threw them in the rubbish bin, and I've never been back to a doctor about my back since 1977. I play squash. I go to the gym 2-3 times a week. I knew that I had a bad report. And the doctors couldn't do anything about it. Now, I believe in doctors, by the way. I still go to doctors for ailments and things. I'm not knocking the doctors. I believe that they are used by God to heal the sick. But sometimes doctors come to where they can't do anything. And this was one in me. So I said, I'm going to just believe God that I'm healed. I've only had one instant healing in my life. I had a duodenal ulcer. And I used to be vomiting blood a lot. And I was in agonizing pain. When the ulcer played up, I couldn't eat anything, literally, for 24 hours. Couldn't eat. And then when I did eat, for a whole week, it would be agony swallowing stuff. I was in agony. And I was taking a youth camp once down at Busselton. And it was on Saturday afternoon. I'll never forget. I was sitting in a meeting. And all of a sudden, I felt this strange little, I don't know what to call it, like, tiny little electric shock. Not nothing to make you just like that. And I thought, what I was? I was healed. I go back to our church and I gave this testimony. Afterwards, three ladies, old ladies, came to me. They said, what time did it happen? And I told them, says, we were praying at that time that God would heal your ulcer. So I got healed completely. I've never had indigestion since. Hallelujah. But that is the only physical healing, miracle healing that I've had. But my back was a different matter. I also had incredible bad hay fever. I mean, so bad that I could never go out of the house without taking half a dozen handkerchiefs with me. I was allergic to so much. And I was preaching. I'd be preaching and wiping my nose as I'm preaching. It was shocking. Somebody the other week gave me an old tape of what I used to sound like, and I was ashamed to listen to it. You know? And this thing went on for quite a while, this hay fever. And I had to go, and I'd started, then in 1980, I started pastoring the church in Armidale. And I'm preaching faith and healing. And I'm preaching praise and worship. And I'm going home and passing blood. I had a crooked back. I had this incredible bad hay fever. And I went to see a specialist, and he removed 7 polyps from my nose. 7. Cut them out. Oh, I'll never forget that. And then he said to me, we're going to give you tests. And they put the tests in your arm, you know, for animals, and the other arm for grasses and things like that. Every single shot they gave me just exploded. The nurse said to the doctor, come and see this, come and see this. And he went and fetched some other doctors to see, because my whole arm, it just exploded. And then this old guy, the specialist, says to me, I got some bad news for you. He says, you are allergic to the 20th century. So he says, you've got to stop eating dairy products. No more cheese, no more chocolate, no more chocolate and cheese. I love chocolate and I love cheese. You've got to cut it out. Okay. We don't know what to do for you. You'll have this condition all your life. Oh, dear Lord. So I'm preaching healing. I'm praying for people who are sick and with a snotty nose, praying for them, you know, get healed in the name. And I'm seeing results. And going home, and I lived in the mansion next door to the church, and I was as sick as a dog, passing blood and all sorts of things. And one day I went to get some milk because I was on goat's milk. Mm. Anyway, I was on goat's milk. And some of you may like goat's milk, but don't get me wrong, if you like it, but that's all right. So I went to get this, I got the goat's milk, and on the way back, I can remember thinking, God, this is crazy. I'm preaching healing. And look at me. This is stupid. I got home, I said to my wife, Julie, go out and buy some milk, cheese, and chocolate. Because I'm not going along with this. I'm going to stand by faith. Listen to this. For 8 years, I confessed I was healed. For 8 long years, I confess by his stripes, I am healed. by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm not talking about confessing it for a month or a year. I'm talking 8 years. Then after 8 years, miracles started to happen. My back started to improve. My hay fever started to go. And look at me now. You wouldn't think I had hay fever. You wouldn't think that I'm 96 years old, would you? I want to tell you, sometimes God looks for raw faith. When everything was telling me not so, I've never been back to a doctor about my back. I don't know what it looks like down there. And I couldn't care less, because I'm healed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I know I've been touched. I know it. And I know that sometimes spiritual things can get involved with this. Because sometime later, when my back was so good, I got a phone call from my assistant pastor and says, Brother so-and-so, he's just rang me, Johnny. It was Sunday morning. His back is hurting him. He needs prayer right away. He can't get out of bed. He's in so much pain. So I went round with my assistant pastor to his house before church started. And I could see he was writhing in pain. So we laid our hands on him and we prayed. And as we prayed, do you know what happened to me? Oh, my back. Just the pain hit me and I fell to my knees. This guy jumped out of bed, healed. I'm in pain with my back again. And I hadn't felt like that for a long, long time. So they said, this is the devil. I said, devil, you liar. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And I stood. And I was fine. I went home into the house to get my wife. And she says, what's wrong with you, John? You look like you've seen a guy. It was agonizing pain, I'm telling you. She said, well, you've seen a ghost. I'll tell you about it after the meeting's finished. That was an incredible spiritual encounter that the devil tried to put back on me what I had before. But guess what? I wouldn't let him, and I won't let him, because by his stripes, I am healed. Come on. You can claim it. There's a time when you need to go for that raw faith. And like I say, friends, there was not instant healings. Only instant healing was at Judean Alonso. And I had nothing to do with that. With these three old ladies. Bless them. Bless them. Is it nice? Have you thought somebody's prayed for you and things get well? Isn't it nice that people pray for us? Do you pray for people? Do you? Pray for people. They need your prayers. God sometimes hears your prayers and answers your prayers. And we don't understand all the ramifications of that, but that day, that was a miracle. But my back, I fought for that healing all the way. For my nose complaint, the allergy to the 20th century, I fought with it. Step by step, until I got free of it. My faith grew. I wanted it to grow. There's times we need raw faith. Sometimes you've got to have a fight. Too many Christians are pacifists. They don't like to fight. They just like to be faithful. Thank God for faithfulness. But there comes a time sometimes when you've got to fight. When you've got to say to the devil, enough, devil. You've come this far. You ain't coming any further. This is where I draw the line. This is where I make a stand. Devil, get lost in the name of Jesus. Do you know, I feel good just preaching about this. I do. I'm serious. I'm feeling good inside. I'm feeling really good inside. Because sometimes, even I do, take things in and, sirrah. Whatever will be, will be. Forget it. We're Christians, amen? This woman shows me that. Can you understand? Friends, just listen. Jesus didn't know that she was there. So what happened that day? Her faith connected with the Spirit of God that was within him, and whoosh, she got healed. Faith connects with God. Faith connects with God. Not hope, faith. I want to say something now that I hope I don't upset you, but hope never performed a miracle. Hope never got a person into heaven. There are a lot of people today on the earth that are hoping they're going to heaven, and they're not. They're going to hell. Their hope is high, but the thing that gets you into heaven is faith. Now, nobody can live without hope. You've got to have hope. Thank God for hope. The reason why people commit suicide is because hope dissipates. When hope goes out of a human being, they don't want to live anymore. We all hope. We all hope things are going to get better. We hoped we were going to get a better government. And the next one, we hope we'll get a better... We're hopeful. We keep on having to hope in us here, don't we? But we hope. You know, the world revolves around hope. But hope doesn't produce miracles. Now, faith is built on hope. You can't have faith without hope. But you can have hope without faith. Now, let me say that again. You can't have faith without hope. But you can have hope without faith. What you need to do is build onto your hope faith. It's faith that produces the miraculous. There's times we need to be raw in our faith. And here's a word. And Christians shouldn't be this, they told me, but I'm going to tell you what you should be. Aggressive. Come on. Aggressive in God. Sometimes you need to be aggressive. This woman was aggressive. She wasn't going to let anybody. Can you imagine how many people she pushed through? This is a woman, sick, ill, faint. Her aggression rose within her. A faith that was rising, raw faith. And she pushed. I'm going to touch Jesus and nobody's going to stop me. Hallelujah. And she did. And the Holy Spirit within him saw it and went, whoa! And she got healed. He said, virtue's flown out of me. Healing virtue's gone from me. And he didn't even know she was there. Don't look at me like that. I'm telling you the truth. It's what he says in the Bible. He's got his back to her. He says, who touched me? He didn't know. He didn't have a word of knowledge on that occasion. God didn't give him a word of knowledge. Lord, who was it? And she came forward and he was actually quite pleased. And he said, oh, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Same thing happened with blind Bartimaeus. Do you remember? He was, when Jesus was passing by, he jumped the queue. And Jesus actually got by him. He said, Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me! And the people said, shut up! Be quiet! What did he do? He shouted louder. I think there was a making of a Pentecostal in him. Do you know what I'm saying? He didn't let the people put him down, stop him, or dash his faith. But sometimes we let the people. We let the congregation subdue us. God help us if we do. Because we shouldn't let anybody get in the way of our faith and trust in Jesus. So he shouts louder, Jesus! 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 And he stopped. She's gone past the guy. He kept on walking if the guy hadn't shouted. Come on, he wouldn't eat. He would have died, a blind man. And Jesus had actually gone down the road and he stopped. He heard the guy. He said, fetch him to me. So he came to him, oh, the master calleth for you. It was all nice then. He wants to see you. So he threw his robe and he came to Jesus. Now the guy's blind. Listen, he is blind. Nowhere in his history or in his culture or in his understanding has he ever heard of anybody being healed of blindness. Every miracle in the New Testament you'll find in the Old Testament, apart from two. One is people being healed of blindness. Nobody was healed of blindness in the Old Testament. And the other miracle is speaking in tongues. That didn't happen in the Old Testament. The two New Testament miracles, and they're both very significant and symbolic. I won't go into all the symbolism of them, but the blindness is obvious. Jesus came to open the eyes of the blind, because everybody was spiritually blind, and he's the one who opens their eyes. But this guy came. Jesus said to him, "What do you want?" Now, if you was blind like him, you've got no history. You can't think, "Why has that guy got healed? He's got no history. So I want to see." He could have said, "Jesus, I would like a bit of money if you don't mind. Can you get these people to give to me?" Or he could have said, "Jesus, I'd love a friend. Somebody who would just come and be my companion and help me around. I'm blind, I can't see where I'm going. I need help." He could have said all those things. You know what he did? He asked for the impossible. He asked for what never had happened before. He said, "I want to see." He's not even seeing Jesus with his eyes. But he's actually saying to Jesus, "I love this. Faith, raw faith is rising in this blind beggar. Spent his life in the gutter begging. Suddenly faith rises. I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." Hallelujah. And he saw. Whoa. God. Come on. Don't you think we need a bit more raw faith like that in the church? Come on. Where people are going to take Jesus at his word and go for it. No matter what. God. How many people here have been in some situations and circumstances that were so daunting, you thought, "I ain't going to get through this. This thing's going to kill me." In your life, have you been, it could have been a family situation, sickness situation, financial situation, but where you've actually thought, "This thing is going to sink me. I ain't getting through." Has anybody had an experience like that? I've got my hand up if you notice. Hands up, right up in the air. Come on, right up. Those who haven't got their hands up, have a look at all these hands. Keep them up, straight up. These people are saying to you, they've gone through experiences that they never thought they'd get through. Guess what? You did. Because you're here. And what's more, a lot of you don't even know how. You came through God. And not, some of you go through more than once. Some of you go through 3, 4, 5 times where you thought, "This thing will kill me. I'm finished." And you find somehow, some way, God brings you through. Isn't he faithful to you? He's faithful even when we don't understand it. He's faithful to us. He's a faithful, loving, caring God. He cares about you. He cares about you. He knows you. Jesus had his back to this woman, but God saw her. Hallelujah. God cared for her. God loved her. And as she was pushing her way through, I know what the devil would have been saying in her ear, but I bet God was saying to her, "Go for it. Go on, go for it. Go on. You go for it. Go on. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't listen to the devil. Go for it." That's what I reckon God was saying. And when she touched him, oh, wow, the miracle happened. The healing flowed. Now, I'd like those kind of healings all the time. But sometimes you've got to fight for your healing like I did. Do you understand? I've prayed for people, seen God touch them, gone home on a Sunday night, crippled in pain myself, in agony, thinking, "God, what is going on here?" But I didn't give up. I kept saying, "By your stripes, I'm 8 long years." God. I proved him. He doesn't mind if you jump the queue. He doesn't mind if your faith stands out, raw faith. So you can see now why I'm going to look for this woman. I hope I've encouraged you to look for her as well. I hope it's done something in your spirit to say, "Yeah, man, what a woman she was." Now, I've often thought, why didn't God name her? Why is he making it so hard for me to find her? You know, why didn't he name her? But there's no, she's just, as far as the world's concerned, she's a nobody. You didn't hear of her before, you've not heard of her since, and she's got no name. But she received a dynamic miracle from God. And let me just tell you, how many people do you think in that crowd that day were sick? Thousands. Thousands. They didn't get healed. Why? Because they didn't touch him with a touch of faith. Hers was a touch of faith, maybe triggered by desperation. She was desperate. It was a touch of desperation.
it was a touch of boldness because she shouldn't have been there. I like it when people, you know, get it. That's why, you know, Mary and Martha, I love Mary because she always broke with tradition, you know. Because, you know, the women should have been in the kitchen getting the meals ready for Jesus. And there was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's a men's job to be taught. The women's job is to get the sandwiches and the tea ready. You all know that. You know that, don't you? That's why, you know why women have smaller feet than men, don't you? So they can stand closer to the sink. But this Mary, she sat there. And Martha came, she says, Lord, tell my sister to get off a bum and help me. Well, not in those, but that's, you know, that's, look at what she's doing. And he said, no. Oh, you are so worried about so many things. Today, she's chosen the better part. She's broken with tradition. She was the same woman who, just before Jesus was betrayed and crucified, she took that beautiful jar of ointment that was worth a year's wages. She must have saved, spent everything she had on that. And she broke with tradition. It's a man's world in that day and age. It was a man's world. And she came in with all these men around her. And she broke that open, put it on his feet, and worshipped him. And he said they became indignant to her. What is this woman doing? And what a waste of money, said Judas Iscariot. Who would, wouldn't he? And what a waste of money. And Jesus says, you leave her alone. You shut up. Shut your mouth. Button your lips. She's doing a good thing. Sometimes you can break with tradition. And Jesus doesn't get upset. Let me tell you why he doesn't get upset. Because he did it all the time. Come on. He wasn't your traditional rabbi. He wasn't your traditional priest. He kept breaking with the cultures of the time to bless the people. Hallelujah. So where am I going with this? What am I doing tonight? What do I want you to do? I want you to have some raw faith. Some of you have been pushed around spiritually. Some of you have been pushed around and you're feeling, God, I just got to put up with this thing. Now, there are times, like I said, we do. There's times when he somehow brings us through. Thank God for that. But there are other times when you've got to say, nah, devil, I'm standing my ground. If you want to fight, come on. I'll give you one. I've got the sword of God's word in my hand. God. Amen. Wasn't that a good sermon? The reason I say that is it did me good. Because I'm going through a bit of an issue at the moment. I'm facing a trial that I never ever thought that I'd face. Never even gave a thought to it. It's got nothing to do with me. It's my wife, my poor dear wife. I'm going through this. So I needed to preach that tonight. To me, as well as to you. And I want to act on what I preach tonight. And I want you to act on what you've heard me preach tonight. That God sometimes is saying, come on, stand your ground. Let's have some raw faith. Otherwise, the church becomes insipid and weak and powerless. And slowly, slowly, we stop praying for the sick. We stop praying for the needy people. We don't see demons cast out. We don't see miracles. Because we become insipid. Let's stop it. We are soldiers of the cross. Paul says, you don't fight against flesh and blood, but you fight against principalities and powers. And I think to myself, I wonder who Paul was speaking to then. Because most of us fight flesh and blood. We don't fight principalities. I've pastored churches long enough to know that churches fight churches. The people in the church fight each other. And I think Paul wrote that to the Ephesian church. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I think it was a real word of faith. He was saying when he wrote that. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, in spiritual wickedness, in high places. Therefore put on the whole armor of God. And having taken your stand, you stand against the devil. Hallelujah! And then I look at the church today, how insipid it's becoming. Our churches are accepting
homosexuality, lesbianism, same-sex marriage. We're accepting things that God finds an abomination because the church is becoming insipid. Easter time. When they give you the videos of the preachers at Easter, you listen to the sermons. What do they preach about? Politics. Political correctness. Rubbish. They should get up there and preach Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to get saved. And on Easter, they've got an opportunity because all the cameras come in to see what is being said. But the church has become insipid. Praise God. We are soldiers of the cross. I wonder tonight, there's somebody here that you're going through something tough. Yeah, tough. You may not even have shared it with anybody, but you, man, it's eating away at you. What do you think is about time that you just stood your ground and told the devil to go to hell? Saying, this is it, devil. Let's turn this thing around. God, I want that raw faith. Now listen to this. That raw faith came from within the woman. Wasn't a gift that God specially gave to her. It was a normal faith that you and I have every day. You know, faith is faith. It's not a special faith that God gives to Christians. He can give a special faith, but it's faith that is faith. For example, people need faith every day. Unsaved people. If you don't have faith, you vegetate. You have to believe that if you're going to sit on that chair, it's not going to collapse. You have to believe that when you get on an airplane, it ain't going to crash. You have to believe that when you get in your car, you're not going to get killed. That's faith. The faith drives you to get on and do those things. So we have faith. We have faith in our kids. We have faith in our parents. We have faith in our husbands and wives. We have that. If we don't have it, then we vegetate. It's terrible, but we have faith. That same faith, just that simple faith that God, the measure of faith that God has dealt to every man, we just take that faith. And we point it towards him. So God, I'm putting faith in you. If I can touch you, I'll be healed. If I can touch you, I'll be healed. And the onus is on you to draw near to God. We're back to that scripture last night. You draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. When you was on the piano tonight, I saw in you something fighting to get out. You have got more in you than you're giving credence to. I think that you're suppressing a gift that God has given to you. I'm just saying this, if it doesn't resonate with you, you throw it away. That's just the ramblings of an old man. But I'll tell you what I felt. I felt there's something in that man that he is, for some reason, just holding back. For whatever reason it is, I don't know. But I just want you to know that God says he sees that. He's saying that is within you that's good. Let it out. Don't stand in the shadows. And you may say, oh, he's not in the shadows, he's up front. No. He's in the shadows of what he knows what I'm talking about. There's something in him that God has given him that's bursting to get out. Let it out, because you're going to become a great man of God. I'll tell you that now. I mean it. And this young lady, what is your name? This lovely Pommy girl who doesn't like pork pies. But anyway, I'll forgive you for that. So it's Laddie, isn't it? Laddie. That's an interesting name. Yeah. Well, let me just tell you something. You are going to face a crossroad. It may even be now, but very shortly, a crossroad is coming in your life. And you have to make a decision. And you can make whatever decision you please, God's told me to tell you. But he's saying to you, choose wisely and choose correctly. Because this crossroad, if you choose wrong, will lead you away from God and not to God. Choose wisely. You'll know it. It's a crossroad. I don't know what it is, but we have crossroads in our life. Sometimes you're going to hit a big one. It's going to be massive. And you've got to choose wise. Because God's got a good future for you. You love the Lord. You do love. And the devil knows you love the Lord. And he's going to bring something in your life to bring confusion. Because crossroads bring confusion. which way do I take? And God is saying, choose wisely and choose not with your head, but choose with your heart. And you'll follow that path of righteousness in God. Amen. It's going to happen very soon. So just you remember this word when it does. Oh, that preacher said that. This is it. And choose, always choose Jesus. Let Jesus always be the center of your life. And I know he is. I know that's what you want. Let him always be the center of your life. Amen. Amen. Is there somebody here tonight that feels that you've come to this camp, but you feel like you're in a sort of straitjacket? You're hemmed in because of problems and circumstances. And what I've said is almost foreign to you. I mean, how could I be aggressive in my faith? I've never ever been like that. But God's telling you, come on, make a stand. Get out of the doldrums. Get out of that sense of being bound up. When God wants you free, it might be a sickness in your body, it might be a financial situation, it might be a family situation. I don't know. You know, God is speaking to you. I want to pray for you, and I will pray for you right now if you want me to. So that your faith will rise. I will not pray against the situation, but I will pray that faith rise. That's all you need. Faith to rise. You'll know what to do, and you'll do the rest. So if that is you, can I pray for you? And if it is you, just stand to your feet just now. Don't be shy or frightened of what people may think. It just doesn't really matter what people think. But if you know, yeah, I need some raw faith in this. To break through this, I've got to have some raw faith to do it. I just wait for a moment, give you time to think. Whether that's you, whether you want to stand in this situation. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I knew that my brother, I knew you was going to stand. Yeah, I knew you was going to stand. As you stand and say there, brother, I'm going to pray for you all. But let me just say this. In spite of yourself, you're a good man. What I mean by that, because you know you've got weaknesses, and those weaknesses drag you down, and you tend to think, I don't measure. I don't measure up. But God wants you to know, and you're standing here, he wants you to know that he thinks you've got a good heart. Can you hear me? It doesn't always come out like that. It doesn't always bounce around like that. But God says, I see you've got a good heart. Now, you know him better than anybody else. Do you know what I'm saying here? That's what God's telling me. I see your heart. And I also see a confusion. There's a fair amount of confusion there. Because I think you think at times you can't be what inwardly you want to be. It's something that you know, I just can't reach or attain that. But God says you can. And the fact that you're standing tonight is a very good starting place. Amen. For you, brother, we're going to pray that raw faith will rise within you. You are a man who hates what is bogus. You can't stand what is false. You look around the church, and if you see a thing is false, it really gets to you. You can't stand falsehood in church. You are a man of integrity, and you like to see the truth. And I know that. And because of that, there's some confusing things come into your mind. But God says, in spite of what you may see around you, you know, don't let that persuade you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of your faith. And stay in with integrity. Stay hating what is false. I hate what is false. And I look around the church and I see a lot of falseness in the church. I see that and I don't like it at all. So there's nothing wrong in that. But I'm saying keep your eyes on the Lord. He's going to do good things in your life. Amen. Amen, my brother. What is your name? Okay, God sees your heart. And in the old days, I used to go fishing with a line. And I used to catch a fish sometimes. And before I could pull it in, it riddled off. It just riddled. And God's trying to reel you in. But you're riddling a bit too much. there's things that you like, there's things you don't like, and God is saying, I want to really get hold of you. God is saying that because he can really use you. You've got something that God says, I can use. There's something in your makeup, something in your personality that God can actually use in a wonderful way for his kingdom. And God says, stop wriggling, stay on the line, let me reel you in, because I really want you to get as close to me as you can, because I've got good things in store for you. Amen? That's what the Lord says. He really does. And my sister, listen to this. You have a good heart also. You really do. And you probably put yourself down when you shouldn't, because you're not a bad girl. You're a good girl. You are. You've got a good heart. And God just wants you to know that he is pleased with you. Okay? He's pleased with you. And I just think the devil's a dirty, rotten liar. You shouldn't even be standing there. Because you have got a good heart. And you've got an open heaven above you. God's given you an open heaven. Okay. But I'm going to pray for your faith. I'm going to pray for your faith and all of you. So, Lord, I pray for these people that are standing right now. And I pray for myself, Lord, because I stand with them. Lord, I need some raw faith right now, like they do. What I'm facing, Lord, and what they're facing, I don't know, Lord. Lord, I'm just praying for that raw faith for each one of us. May that faith come from within us, Lord, to touch you. Lord, don't let us be put off by what people say or think. But help us, Lord, to find direction through your word and let that raw faith rise. Let each one of us, Lord, that are standing here say, if I can touch you, I'll be healed. Now, whatever that may mean, whatever healing that may mean, Lord, help us to say it, help us to believe it. And Lord, if we say it and we believe it, then we know we're going to do it. We're going to touch you. And you're going to change us from the inside out and make us strong in you, that we will overcome the circumstances that are against us and the situations that are trying to drag us down. We stand tonight on the word of God. And Lord, you've told us very clearly that your word is faith food. It's your word that feeds our faith. So we take your word, really, Lord, we take it as it is, and we feast on it, and our faith will grow, and we'll have that raw faith to do the miraculous. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isn't God good, eh? He's a good lady. She loves the Lord. The Lord loves you, sister. He really does. You've got a good heart. If anybody can love dogs like you do, you're a good person. And she does. She got a lovely, sensitive, soft heart. You have. And so have you. You've been through a bit of trouble. You've had some trials and tribulations along the way. It's not been a bed of roses for you. There's been quite a few thorns in the way. But you're here. He brought you through it all. God brought you, you can look back and you can see family, you can say, yeah, you brought me through. There's times when you thought you wouldn't get through. There's times when you thought, God, this thing's going to crush me, but it didn't. You've been faithful to the Lord, and the Lord sees your faithfulness. In fact, there's a banner over you, and as you see that on that banner, it says faithfulness. You keep on being faithful to God. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I finished. That's it.
Amen. Amen. Before we close the meeting, I just want to open the altar to anyone who doesn't know Jesus. And you, after hearing this message of faith, somehow, you know, God is nudging you and say that, I want to receive Jesus. I want to believe in this true and the living God. If it is you, could you make your way to the front? Make your way to the front. Don't wait for another day. Come. Salvation is now. Today is your opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So anyone, please, feel that the Spirit is nudging your heart, just make a way to the front. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you.
shall we stand? Father, we thank you tonight for this message of faith. Lord, I believe, Lord, that this message that is deposited within the hearts of everyone shall turn out to be an active faith, Lord. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, Lord, we are pressing, Lord, we are pressing, Father. And Lord, we shall not be discouraged, Lord, by the circumstances, that the faith in us shall arise, Lord. And we're going to press in and touch the hem of Jesus. So I pray whatever situation, whatever circumstances, however difficult it is, that they will, Lord, just press through and believe in a breakthrough in their life. Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you, this faith that is deposited within us. And for those, Lord, who have not known you, I pray you reveal to them in a special way tonight. To dreams, Lord. You speak to them. God, Jesus becomes so real in their life that they will respond to your saving grace. So we ask and plead that you write their names in your book of life. We entrust them to you. We know that you love them so much, Lord. Lord, you desire, Lord, that they come to be restored to you, that they be added into your kingdom. So, Lord, we pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, for your mercy upon their life. Tonight, as we go back to our beds, go back to our chalet, you grant us good sleep, Lord. You revive us, recharge us for tomorrow. And we commit, Lord, the rest of the church camp to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you have to stay back for coffee and tea, you are most welcome.